Now, today we're going to focus on one kind of innovation and also how to build teams to do that kind of innovation. And Debbie's going to take on that second part. I'm just going to focus on the first part, okay? So now we can go to the slides. And so those of you who are wondering why I wasn't clicking, it was because I had that kind of preview, all right? So the Economist magazine had the following quote: innovation is now recognized as the single most important ingredient in any modern economy. All right, that's the Economist magazine. That's about a two-year-old quote. All right, second quote: for centuries, people assumed economic growth resulted from the interplay between capital and labor. Today, we know that these elements are outweighed by a single critical factor: innovation. Innovation is the source of U.S. economic leadership and the foundation for our competitiveness in a global economy. I want to say two things about this quote. Number one, it was Bill Gates who said it. Number two, I want to alter the second quote for the rest of the world. It should read this way: innovation is the source of economic leadership and the foundation for competitiveness in a global economy. It's not about the USA. It's about anyone who, in fact, wants to gain leadership position. The concept of leadership and innovation go hand in hand. So there are basically two kinds of innovation in the world. There's incremental innovation, take what you do and make it better, and then there's radical innovation, which is throw out what you're doing and do it in a fundamentally new way. The kind of innovation I'm going to talk about, innovation at the Verge, mostly is radical innovation. But it also does some incremental innovation. Now, how did I get started in this kind of innovation? I was reading some information about ecological research done by a San Francisco University professor of ecology named Tom Smith. And he was reporting on a surprise that he found, which was he was looking at innovations, biological innovations in ecosystems. Had started with an assumption, which is a fairly good hypothesis, which is where there is the highest competition, there should be the highest amount of innovation, and discovered that that actually was not completely true. What he found where there was high competition was incremental innovation, that is, biological elements doing small change here, small change there. But for the more radical, unusual innovations, he found those were out much closer to the edge, where the competition was much lower. In fact, if you think about it, at the edge of an ecosystem is probably where the lowest amount of competition is, not the center. So after reading that, I was looking around for examples. I ran into Lynn Margolis's book called Symbiotic Planet, in which Lynn Margolis talks about symbiosis, defined as the living together of unlike organisms. Here was a theme that was starting to go. At the edge where two different ecosystems meet, Tom Smith found high rates of radical innovation. What Lynn Margolis was pointing out was two unlike organisms could come together, live together, form a partnership, and as a result, by the way, become innovative in the environment. She talked about three basic relationships: parasitism, in which one of those organisms is basically eating the other organism, okay, but still it's a living together of unlike organisms until one of them dies; commensalism, in which one organism utilizes the other organism, but it doesn't bother the other organism; and then mutualism. And mutualism is where two organisms come together, both benefit, that's win-win, and the partnership benefits, so it's actually a win-win-win relationship. Those are symbiotic relationships, and what she notes in her book, by the way, the book I find was fascinating to read, is that much of evolution has been driven not by Darwinian adaptation, but by symbiotic combinations that caused rapid change in dramatically new organisms to come out of two things that were separate at the beginning. Now, I put those all together, and I had also read a wonderful article by a former head of the Library of Congress in which he talked about the Verge. And he defined the Verge as where something and something different meet. And I decided I would do my work around this definition because it doesn't say something living. It doesn't say, in other words, it's broad enough that we can actually apply this definition to a lot of things. And it is my contention that innovations at the Verge are going to be where the high leverage is going to be in the 21st century.